This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark Kusuchuang and Wong Shaoning. It is 7:36 in the morning, and in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill, where Shaoning, you'll speak with Timothy Tan, the managing director of Kawan Food. And because today is World SME Day, we have a Malaysian SME here on the grill that's made it on the world stage.
Yeah, Kawan Food is most known for its roti prata, and actually it's Malaysia's largest producer of Asian frozen foods, with exports reaching 40 countries around the world. So I'll be speaking to its managing director, Timothy Tan, to talk about the progress of this 40-year-old SME company that's no longer an SME.
Now, we're also running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, because we're asking you, have you struggled to pay student debt, either yours or your child's? Do tell us why. And the reason we're asking this is because there's an interesting, we're discussing student debt this morning, because PTPTN, the National Higher Education Fund Corporation, as we all know, is saddled with about 40 billion ringgit in outstanding loans. So to figure out how to solve this problem, it carried out a public consultation program, which closed just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so we talked a lot about PTPTN's arrears on the show, but what we haven't spent a lot of time talking about is the fact that student debt is not a problem unique to Malaysia. In fact, it's a global issue. And in a recent article by University of Malaysia, Professor Nias Asadullah, he explained that this is because the private education sector worldwide saw a boom in the 90s and early 2000s due to rising economic prosperity, which led to insatiable demand for talent. And of course, parents worldwide are interested in doing the best they can for their children, i.e. education.
Yes, and Professor Nias highlighted that a majority of university students in the Asia-Pac region attended private, not public institutions, and that's why student loans surged. And this is a problem notably in the UK, US, and even South Korea and Japan. For example, in the US, outstanding loans reach $1.5 trillion.
That was triple its level, by the way, in 2007. So for more insights into the issue, we speak with the author of the article and Professor of Development Economics at University of Malaya, M. Nias Asadullah. Thank you for joining us on the show, Nias. So can you give us some context on how other countries have struggled with student debt?
Thank you. You have already provided a great introduction, correctly pointing out that this is not a Malaysia problem. A range of countries around the world, both developing and developed, are suffering from a rising burden of student debt. This is a problem in the U.S. It has almost led to collapse of a government in Latin America, in Chile. Paradoxically, it also affects the countries in Scandinavian region, which is known for equitable access to higher education. And within Asia, developing countries such as Thailand, India are also facing this problem. So there is this global dimension to it. And a wide range of factors have contributed to this. One in particular is the slowdown in global economy that has affected demand in the labor market. Graduates have struggled in terms of jobs. There has also been an issue in terms of how education has empowered these graduates in terms of earning in the labor market. And all of these have combined to affect their capacity to pay off. So that is the larger context in which affected a wide range of countries, both in the developed and developing region.
And Professor, what has been some of the promising solutions from other countries in tackling this student loan problem?
So one solution that in particular countries have considered is to redesign the way students could repay the loan. One is to offer salary deduction. For instance, in other contexts, there are considerations of converting some of these into grants and scholarship. But we have to keep in mind that some of these options are a matter of fiscal capacity. At a time when governments around the world are facing growth slowdown, there are greater strains on government budget, options such as writing off outstanding debt is not an option, not feasible. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Niaz. That was Niaz Asadullah, Professor of Development Economics at University Malaya. And I think this is a very interesting discussion, an interesting article that he's written, particularly what he highlighted, which was the Scandinavian countries. Because in Sweden, apparently, students do walk out of university with a fair amount of student debt, about $20,000 worth, which is not far off from the US average of $36,000. And this is despite the free tuition offered in Scandinavian countries. So there's a larger ecosystem that is enabling this problem to persist, particularly when it comes to the global slowdown, the global economic slowdown, as well as a rising demographic of the working workforce, basically.
Yeah, this is the kind of debt balloon that people like Jesse Colombo has been talking about for years, because there's all kinds of debt bubbles all over the world. And student debt is another one. I mean, $1.6 trillion in the US, on average about $35,000 in debt per student. In the UK, it's the same thing. In the UK, students are allowed to borrow up to, I think fees are annually about 10,000 quid, and you can borrow the entire sum to be paid for by the student upon their graduation. In Malaysia, it's the same thing. We've got 40 billion ringgit worth of debt on PTPTN's books, and innumerable debt amounts on parents who actually send their kids to private institutions. And this can take, not really just in the form of student loans per se, but in terms of like mortgage refund, financing, credit cards, personal loans, and what other things involved. So it's a much bigger problem than policymakers care to admit. And America hasn't really solved the problem. I think they're talking about amnesty now in terms of forgiving some of this debt. But in Malaysia, we don't have that luxury. And it's not a zero-sum game. Banks have to be paid back.
And it's not just that we don't necessarily have that luxury because we are in a fiscally strapped position. It's will amnesty and forgiving these loans, will it really solve the root of the problem? Because you're treating the symptom here, not the cause. There is a wider conversation to be had about the quality of our tertiary education, particularly when it is fostered by private universities whose motivation here is to make money. Because private universities they don't need to get their students jobs. Yes, it will be good for their image in the long run, but at the end of the day, they're looking to get cash, to get the money.
Well, to go back to Professor Niaz's article in Project Syndicate, he points out that 28% of graduates in this country, in Malaysia, do not have a job upon graduation. And then you've got to ask yourself from a business perspective, right? If you're going to fork out this amount of money to get a degree, surely you can get a job upon graduation, but that's not the case. And he also points out, Professor Niaz, that about half of working level graduates in Kuala Lumpur are earning a salary below what the central bank calls the official living wage. So it just doesn't add up. So what are we doing here?
Well, I think interestingly, his article does point out certain countries and the models that they've adopted. For me, the most interesting one is actually Germany, where parents are required to support their children financially even during the post-secondary education.
Well, that's no good either. That's no good. It doesn't make sense. Whether or not your wallet or your parents' wallet pays for it, it just doesn't add up.
No, but the other point that he likes to make out is that in Germany, the students' loans are interest-free and they get a five-year break before the repayment starts. So it gives a chance for these new entrants into the workforce for their salaries to kind of rise and, you know, afford to pay off the loans. Then the high-performing students then are also rewarded with partial debt write-off. So it encourages good quality outcomes. You know, you try your best to get the best degree.
I don't agree, because this plays into the hands of the private institutions which offer inverted commas education and degrees, because this basically kicks the can down the road. You've got to make it add up. If you're going to borrow money to pay for education, that education is going to be good enough to get you a job that is going to get you good enough wage to survive in the real world. If you don't do that, then what's the point?
Well, sometimes people just want to study for the sake of studying.
Well, that's no good
it's
either.
It's not always for work.
That's no good either. Then you become a professional student, and what good is that to the working society?
I think studying for the sake of studying, while some of us would enjoy it, it is a luxury. Most people go to university in order to get a degree that will help them to enter the workforce. But this is a long-standing problem, and it is not something that's going to be solved overnight. So we'll probably have lots more discussions on this subject. Now, we've got a couple of messages for you, and after that, we'll take a look at some more local stories. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.